against vaccines for a deadly measles outbreak in 2019. Back in 20 seconds. By Marianne Faithfull, the British singer, actress, pop icon, died Thursday at the age of 78. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to several confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill for President Trump's cabinet members, beginning with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who faced a second day of hearings for health secretary. Kennedy has previously campaigned as pro-choice, but during the hearing, he repeatedly said he believes, quote, every abortion is a tragedy and vowed to implement Trump's policies. He also gave incorrect information about Medicare and Medicaid. Kennedy's long record of vaccine skepticism was a major focus. He repeatedly refused to disavow the debunked link between vaccines and autism and refused to acknowledge COVID vaccines are life-saving. But he ended with this claim.
Before I conclude, I want to make sure this committee is clear about a few things. News reports and many in the hearing yesterday have claimed that I'm anti-vaccine and anti-industry. Well, I'm neither. I'm pro-safety. I'm pro-good science. I worked for 40 years to raise awareness about mercury and other toxics in fish, and nobody called me anti-fish. All my kids are vaccinated. I believe vaccines have saved millions of lives and play a critical role in healthcare.
In the same hearing on Thursday, Kennedy defended his trip to Samoa in June of 2019, 4 months before a measles outbreak was declared that killed 83 people, mostly children. Kennedy's anti-vaccine nonprofit, Children's Health Defense, offered to finance the trip. This is Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts questioning Kennedy about that trip.
So let me just follow through now, 2019. So now in October of 2019, the CDC declared a measles outbreak in Samoa. And in November, Samoa started a mass vaccination campaign to stop the outbreak. That same month, November of 2019, after 16 people had already died from the outbreak and Samoa was trying to respond to the crisis, you sent a letter to the Prime Minister of Samoa stating that, quote, it is a regrettable possibility that these children are causalities of the vaccine. By unanimous consent, I will introduce that letter into the record.
Without objection.
So as Samoa was trying to contain the outbreak, you were saying that it was the fault of the vaccine rather than the absence of vaccinations that caused the outbreak in Samoa in the same year you visited Samoa.
And I replied to that, Senator.
Let me just finish. The death count in Samoa grew to 83. And ultimately, volunteers in New Zealand sent tiny coffins to help bury the dozens of children who died. And the Samoan Director General of Health later said, with his last name and the status attached to it, people will believe him. People will believe Robert Kennedy.
So that was Senator Markey. This week, Samoa's prime minister criticized RFK Jr.'s vaccine views and said she's surprised by his nomination for health secretary. For more, we're joined by two guests. But we're going to begin in Apia, the capital of Samoa. We'll begin with Ione Dr. Alec Ekodoma, who is the current director general of health for Samoa's health ministry. Doctor, welcome to Democracy Now! Thanks for joining us from Samoa. Can you explain, for 2 days we've heard about Samoa, explain exactly what happened in 2019?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. In 2019, Samoa had a very low vaccination rate.
And that was because of some problems back in 2018 with the mixing of vaccines that resulted in two deaths. And so therefore we had a low vaccination rate already. And then Kennedy visited before the measles outbreak. Now, the measles outbreak, of course, it came from New Zealand across the islands. And because of a low vaccination rate, it just took off. And so resulting in so many deaths. But the government responded quickly and mounted a vaccination campaign, and there was an international assistance to Samoa from all countries in the world who came across, doctors and nurses came across to Samoa to help with the mass vaccination of our people. So that drove the vaccination rate up to 90% within a few months. So Kennedy's presence in Samoa a few months before that actually emboldened the anti-vaxxers locally and also from New Zealand. And so they were the ones really that tried to sow the vaccine hesitancy in the country. But fortunately, our leaders did not believe that and mounted this emergency and mass vaccination campaign.
Why did Kennedy go to Samoa?
Apparently, he came to talk about some database that they could create. But when he was here, he talked to the then Director General of Health and to the Prime Minister, but he also talked to the local anti-vaxxers as well. I'm not privy to what was discussed, but the result of his visit didn't result in any improvements in our ICT or software capabilities in the country. None was promised.
I want to bring our other guest into this conversation. As we talk to the health director in Samoa, I also want to bring Brian Deer in, who was there in 2019, in the midst of the measles outbreak. He's an investigative journalist and author of The Doctor Who Fooled the World. His recent New York Times opinion piece, I'll Never Forget What Kennedy Did During Samoa's Measles Outbreak. So can you elaborate further on what Dr. Ekedoma is saying?
Good morning, Amy. Yes, indeed. I was out in Samoa at the time, and I spent a great deal of my time there speaking to the mothers of children who died from measles. And it was a most emotional experience. And I ended my time there just crying as I became overcome by the pain of these mothers. 83 people died, overwhelmingly small children. Now, Mr. Kennedy thinks he knows better than anybody else. He claims that he's not anti-vaccine. I've been following what is now called the anti-vaccine movement for 25 years, and I can assure you that Mr. Kennedy is not only an anti-vaccine campaigner, he is the preeminent anti-vaccine campaigner in the world. And he went to Samoa, and after the outbreak began, he then wrote to the Prime Minister trying to suggest that it wasn't in fact a virus at all that was killing these children, but was in fact the responsibility of the vaccine itself. And he didn't stop there. Even this week, speaking to senators, he claimed that nobody knows what these children died from, even though the measles the vaccine there had collapsed as a result of other issues. And then after a vaccination campaign that followed the outbreak or occurred at the same time as the outbreak, the children stopped dying. But Mr. Kennedy felt that he should tell senators that nobody knows what killed those children. Extraordinary thing for him to say.
What do you think, Brian Deer, and then I want to ask the health minister in Samoa, of him being the health secretary, the Secretary of Health and Human Services of the United States?
Well, I have to say, listening to him over the last couple of days, Amy, that I was shocked by the attitude he displayed. he was making it absolutely clear that notwithstanding him being the hoping to become the head of an agency with a $2,000 billion budget and employing 90,000 people, he was going to personally involve himself in vaccine science. And it would be he who would be deciding whether the research was conducted properly, even though he has no medical or scientific qualifications at all, and not the enormous staff he represents and the agencies that have actually written to him previously telling him that the research overwhelmingly and conclusively shows that there is no link between vaccines and, for example, autism. He was making it absolutely clear to senators that he was going to, in that job, with those enormous responsibilities for that massive entity, he was going to involve himself in the individual pieces of research and deciding for himself whether vaccines, for example, cause autism.
And before we leave Samoa, Dr. Alec Ekeroma, if you can talk about the significance of if he is confirmed as health secretary here in the U.S.
It is quite significant. Someone who is prominent in the world with a loud hailer, spitting out anti-vaccine sentiments, emboldening anti-vaxxers around the world and in Samoa is going to be a public health disaster for us. Already, we're going to have reduction in U.S. funding to United Nations and to WHO. That is going to affect our capability here. And then you add in propaganda into this role that is going to slow down the flow of vaccines to us. That is going to harm our public health state in this country. And so, therefore, it will be a disaster for us.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Alec Ekeroma, for joining us, Director General of Health for Samoa's Health Ministry. Brian Deer, I want to move on to another issue. You wrote the book, The Doctor Who Fooled the World. I want to go right now to another interaction in the Senate, another exchange. This is Independent Senator Bernie Sanders questioning RFK Jr. Thursday alongside Senator Bill Cassidy, physician and key Republican vote.
I find myself in the unusual and uncomfortable position of having to agree with Senator Cassidy's line of questioning. Mr. Kennedy, in an interview in July 2023, you stated, quote, "I do believe autism does come from vaccines." And you have, the end of quote, and you have praised a gentleman named Andrew Wakefield for his research. What studies, you talk about the need to be science-based, to get our information, good information to make decisions. What studies have you utilized to come to the conclusion that vaccines cause autism?
I'm happy to sit down with you.
No, please, just answer me that.
Look at the Mawson study, Senator.
The what? Yeah.
Just look at that study.
Yeah, I will. And that was published.
But I wouldn't rest on a single study.
Right.
And all studies can be better.
Okay. Don't mean to be rude. I don't have a lot of time.
Just saying
I just heard you say you could not be happier if you were proved wrong. Mr. Chairman, I asked to put into the record 16 studies done by scientists and doctors all over the world saying that vaccines do not cause autism.
So in the last few minutes we have, Brian Deer, you wrote the book, The Doctor Who Fooled the World. You were talking about Dr. Andrew Wakefield. If you can comment on what's the connection between Robert Kennedy and Dr. Andrew Wakefield, known as the father of the anti-vaccine movement.
Well, they basically run this movement together. Kennedy, Andrew Wakefield, and another man, Del Bigtree, who works with them both, are, if you like, the innermost circle of this movement, which has evolved in recent years. Andrew Wakefield is a research cheat. He was responsible for a fraudulent study published in London in 1998 that was referred to by another senator yesterday, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire. And she broke down as she was trying to explain that she has a developmentally challenged son and that she had blamed herself or had agonized over whether she should blame herself for having vaccinated her son and whether it was something she had done that caused his disability. And she was breaking down there even during the hearing as she was trying to get her words out. The suffering that parents have been exposed to as a result of this man, Andrew Wakefield in particular, and his research paper that she was referring to and Bernie Sanders was referring to, published in London in 1998. And I would say was the honour of my life to have caused to be retracted and exposed for what it was.
Brian Deer, I want to thank you for being with us. Investigative journalist, author of The Doctor Who Fooled the World. We'll link to your New York Times op-ed. I'll never forget what Kennedy did during Samoa's measles outbreak. Next up, the confirmation hearings of Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel. Back in 20 seconds. Truth by Craig Armstrong. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to two other confirmation hearings that took place Thursday for roles overseeing American intelligence and law enforcement. Director of National Intelligence pick Tulsi Gabbard faced bipartisan skepticism, while Trump's pick to head the FBI, Kash Patel, appeared to have the support he needs despite vocal opposition from the Democrats. Kash Patel testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee, downplaying his past promotion of right-wing conspiracy theories and said only 40% of Americans have faith in the FBI. While Republicans hailed him as a reformer, Democrats grilled Patel over his past comments calling for a so-called enemies list and praising the January 6th rioters. This is Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Mr. Patel posted on social media, quote, January 6th, never an insurrection. Cowards in uniform exposed. End of quote. Let me repeat that. Cowards in uniform exposed. Who was in the Capitol building on January 6th in a uniform? The Capitol Police were. Do you think they were cowards? Many of them risked their lives and some gave their lives in defense of this building. How about the D.C. police who were here as well? They were in uniform. Cowards risking their lives as well. Some of them being battered and beaten by these mobsters that came on into the Capitol. And Mr. Patel claims that the FBI agency he aspires to lead, get this now, was planning January 6th for a year. He says the FBI was planning January 6th for a year. That's a quote. Mr. Patel has gone so far as to co-produce and sell musical recordings of a song performed by January 6th rioters in jail.
Democrats also focused on Kash Patel's record of going after journalists and calling for retribution against people he believes are trying to undermine President Trump. This is Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island questioning Patel.
Here's what this nominee himself has said about using his office to prosecute journalists. We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. We're gonna come after you, whether it's criminally or civilly. Is that a correct quotation, Mr. Patel?
Senator, that's a partial quotation.
But it's correct.
In part.
Regarding his publication of his enemies list, Mr. Patel proclaimed, the manhunt starts tomorrow, and reposted a video depicting him taking a chainsaw to his political enemies. Is that you, Kash Patel, retruthed, reposting that at the top of that page?
Senator, I had nothing to do with the creation of that
meme. Is that you reposting it was my question.
And that's me at the top.
You said FBI agents were responsible for the violence on January 6th. And I quote you here, beyond a reasonable doubt. Is that what you said?
That's completely incorrect, and I appreciate the opportunity to address that.
I'll give you an opportunity in writing, but this is my time now.
Have at it.
An Inspector Attorney General investigation found that that was false. And you said we should impeach judges who rule against Donald Trump, who are, in your words, political terrorists.
So that was Senator Whitehouse questioning Kash Patel. This is Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota.
Have you referred to the media as the most powerful enemy of the United States that they have ever seen? Is that right?
Again, you're reading a quote. I take that you're reading an accurate.
HTC Pack 223-24. You said we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens who helped Joe Biden rig the elections. We're going to come after you, whether it's criminally or civilly. Is that something you said?
That's a partial statement of what I said.
Steve Bannon's podcast. You also said you would put the entire fake news mafia press corps on your list. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
I don't have that in front of me.
Benny Johnson's podcast, 821-23.
For more on the Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard nomination hearings, we're joined now by Chip Gibbons from Washington, D.C., journalist, policy director of Defending Rights and Dissent, where he's advised multiple congressional offices on reforming the Espionage Act, currently working on a book on the history of the FBI for Verso Books. Chip, thanks for joining us. Before we move to Tulsi Gabbard, if you can talk about the Kash Patel talking about going after journalists and also making an enemies list.
Well, Kash Patel is one of Donald Trump's most disturbing picks, and that is saying something. Patel's comments about going after journalists should be very alarming. First of all, because no one should be in a law enforcement or intelligence position who wants to go after journalists. And I think we have to clarify that the FBI is both a law enforcement agency and an intelligence agency. It's been a hybrid agency since Hoover, and Hoover used the intelligence aspects of the FBI to go after King, to go after civil rights protesters. And in spite of this myth of sort of the reformed FBI, ever since then, they've been doing exactly the same thing. While writing my book, I've come up with documents from right before 9/11 that show them spying on World Bank protesters with incredibly intrusive means. So the FBI is a political police force, and we are nominating someone who has shown themselves to be gleeful about using its political policing powers. The journalism comments are extremely disturbing because the FBI has broad powers to go after journalists. Because the unauthorized disclosure of national defense information is governed by the Espionage Act, authority for enforcing leak investigations is in the intelligence division of the FBI, the division with the least restrictions and most surveillance. And I will note that the Heritage Foundation in Project 2025 has called for hiring more FBI counterintelligence agents with the goals of finding journalist sources and imprisoning them. Unfortunately, there has been a bipartisan trend in this country to come after first journalist sources like S. Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning, and then under the Trump and Biden administrations to go after journalist Julian Assange. When you look at what was in the plea deal that Julian Assange agreed to, that he is a journalist and he worked with a source to publish classified information, and that is a conspiracy under the Espionage Act, Kash Patel has the perfect tool to go after Trump's critics and the media. So Patel's desire to go after journalists and their sources, the fact that both parties have created and cemented the tools to do so. And the fact that the FBI is a political policing bureaucracy makes Patel an extraordinarily dangerous figure. And we should be extremely concerned about what's coming down the pike, while also acknowledging that if we did not have this bipartisan building up of the surveillance state, this bipartisan ratification of the Espionage Act, this bipartisan use of it against whistleblowers like Snowden, with journalists like Assange. Yes, yes.
I want to go to Edward Snowden, meaning I want to turn to the confirmation hearings for Tulsi Gabbard, Trump's pick for the director of national intelligence. She refused to call whistleblower Edward Snowden a traitor repeatedly throughout this hearing. This is a heated exchange with Colorado Senator Democrat Michael Bennett.
Was Edward Snowden a traitor to the United States of America?
Senator, I will also repeat my answer. He broke the law.
You said earlier that you were offended by a question that my colleague from Kansas asked, which I think was his duty as somebody on this committee to fulfill his responsibility to advise and consent. We are not here to be a rubber stamp for the President of the United States. So let me ask you again, do you believe, as the chairman of this committee believes, as the vast majority of members of our intelligence agencies believe, that Edward Snowden was a traitor to the United States of America?
Senator, if confirmed
this
as Director
when the
of
rubber
National
hits
Intelligence,
the road. This is when,
I will
this
work
is not,
with you to make sure that there is not
a moment
another Snowden-like
for social
leak.
Media. It's not a moment to propagate theories, conspiracy theories, or attacks on journalism in the United States. This is when you need to answer the questions of the people whose votes you're asking for to be confirmed as the chief intelligence officer of this nation. As my colleague said, this is not about you. It's about the people that serve the intelligence agencies of the United States. Is Edward Snowden a traitor to the United States of America? That is not a hard question to answer when the stakes are this high.
Senator, as someone who has
your
served
answer,
in
yes
uniform.
Or no, is Edward Snowden a traitor to the United States of America?
As someone who has worn
our
uniform in combat, I understand how critical our national security
apparently
is.
Apparently you don't. Apparently you don't.
So that's Democratic Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, echoing questions from other Democrats and Republicans. There was a kind of consensus here. And Tulsi Gabbard repeatedly refused to call the whistleblower Edward Snowden a traitor. Chip, we just have 2 minutes. For those who aren't familiar with this case, but also what this means if she were to become the director of national intelligence, or if it's going to be the basis on which she's voted down.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Senator Bennett's performance was worthy of the House Un-American Activities Committee. Edward Snowden is not a traitor. He is a patriotic whistleblower. Treason is the only crime defined in the United States Constitution. It is defined incredibly narrowly. Edward Snowden has never been charged with treason. He has been charged with unauthorized disclosure of national defense information. Edward Snowden worked with journalists who won Pulitzer Prizes to expose the illegal, unconstitutional mass surveillance programs of the National Security Agency, which were targeting U.S. citizens and others. In spite of the claims that these were foreign counterintelligence programs facing outward, Snowden showed conclusively the NSA, working with the FBI, was being used to engage in the bulk collection of Americans' metadata and was abusing other surveillance programs to access Americans' communications and get information about them. One of the results of Snowden's disclosures was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found one of the programs he exposed.
We have 30 seconds.
To be illegal and likely unconstitutional. Someone who exposes the violations of Americans' rights are not is not a traitor. It is a betrayal of the oath of office to violate the Fourth and First Amendment rights of Americans.
A man who many consider a hero across the political spectrum, Dan Ellsberg, before he died, said that Edward Snowden is Dan Ellsberg. Chip Gibbons, I want to thank you so much for being with us, journalist, policy director of Defending Rights and Dissent, where he's advised multiple congressional offices on reforming the Espionage Act, currently working on a book on the history of the FBI. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org.
Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.